no reason to praise. Tell him I will give thanks. Oh, yes, I will. Yes, I will give thanks. When the roar that I hear is the voice of my fear, trying to silence this hope in my heart, I will give thanks. Oh, yes, I will. I will give thanks.
Amen.
A song of thanksgiving is my battle cry. The joy is my
His face shines.
Take a moment right now just to thank the Lord from our own hearts in our own way for his record of faithfulness to us. We thank you, Lord, that you have walked with us through the flood and through the fire. You've been faithful, Lord, on good days and bad days, on the mountain, in the valley, Lord. You are good. Oh, how we love you and bless your name today, dear Father. Thank you so much, oh God, for proving to us again and again who you are, your amazing grace. Lord, we've learned to trust in you through the years. We thank you so much, Father, for all of your provision, all of your faithful supply. You've been better to us than we've ever deserved, oh God. You've forgiven our sins. You've blessed us, Lord, with so many spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. You've provided for us in the natural realm. You've given us the unspeakable blessing of family and friends. We thank you so much, Lord. And Father, because of your goodness through the years, we're confident about today and tomorrow. You will be faithful, Lord. You are a good God yesterday, today, and forever. And we thank you, Lord, so much for blessing us today. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. How many here today would just acknowledge this morning that God has been very good to you? Yeah. Do we recognize that? Every good and perfect gift. The Apostle James, the brother of the Lord Jesus, wrote, every good and perfect gift has come to us from our Heavenly Father, and it's come through our Lord Jesus Christ, Romans chapter 8. And so we acknowledge today the Lord's goodness in our lives. He's been faithful. Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to the house of the Lord today, and happy Mother's Day to all the moms in the house this morning. This is the day the Lord has made. We're rejoicing. We're glad today for the blessing of the Lord and the blessing of being together as the people of God today. I don't know about you, but there's no place I would rather be on a Sunday morning. Of course, this is my job, but it's also the love of my life. And there's no place I would rather be than with you in church this morning here in Jefferson City at First Assembly. Thank you for joining us today. And we want to say, way back there somewhere, where is Archie? Our brother Archie Opie is all the way in the back there. Those of you who are around brother Archie this morning, reach over right now and give him a hug or just lay a hand on his shoulder. His precious wife Bev went home to be with the Lord this past Thursday morning early. Bev Opie, longtime member of this church family and an even longer friend to me. I started out my adult life as a Kmart employee. Somebody say hallelujah. Kmart. And shortly after I began work there, Bev came transferring up from Louisiana. You could hear that Louisiana accent in her voice. She was not originally from there, but in Louisiana, she picked up a mightily strong Southern accent. And she came to that store, and she breathed new life into that store. And we worked together for many years. How many, let's take a quick poll. How many of you here this morning at one time worked for Kmart? In the house, put up your hand, hold it up high, don't be ashamed, hold it up high. Look, we have maybe 8 or 10 people in the house today. I remember some of you who worked for, don't lift your hand. No. All good workers from First Assembly, and Bev was a precious blessing to us back then and all these years to our church family. Archie has taken care of Bev so faithfully over these last couple of years that she's been unable to be in church with us. And we're going to be celebrating Bev's life tomorrow morning here in the sanctuary at 11 o'clock with a memorial service to celebrate her earthly life and her home going to be with Jesus. I declare to you this morning that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. But to be absent from the body for the Christian is to be present with the Lord. And this morning we declare that Bev Opie, who has departed from her earthly body, is in the presence of the Lord Jesus today, according to the promises of Scripture. And what a time she must be having. I can hear Bev shouting across the courtyard of heaven, telling everybody what to do. That's what she did at Kmart. She was a delight to us, and she was a strong, strong lady in the Lord. And we're going to be celebrating her life with joy tomorrow, 11 o'clock, here in the sanctuary with a memorial service. We invite everybody who can join us to be present for that memorial service. We also want to say, because we're aware of the times and the seasons, a happy congratulations to all of those who are in the midst of, or have, or are about to graduate from high school and college. Let's have all of the high school and college graduates stand right now. If you're in the middle of a graduation process or just completed that, how many do we have in the house? Come on, stand. High school, college graduates back there upstairs as well. Congratulations, guys. And we know there will be more in the second service. And we just declare from Jeremiah 29:11 that the Lord knows the good plans he has for you. And we believe Philippians 1:6 that he who has begun a good work in you will bring it to completion as you continue to follow the Lord Jesus Christ and depend upon him in your life. So congratulations to all of you who are here together today. All right, have you had enough sitting time this morning? Let's stand together one more time to sing one more worship song as we prepare for the preaching of God's word this morning. Heidi, would you lead us out, please? I stand amazed. Said amen. 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 You may be seated this morning. We want to let everybody who's going to be in Sunday school in the upstairs side on this side of the building this morning that new air conditioners are coming. It might be a little warm and toasty up there today. It already is a little bit. And we have three. This building we're sitting in right now is 37 years old. How many of you were here when we first moved into this building? Let me see. A good number of you, you remember those days. And we have several air conditioning units in this building that are 37 years old right along with the building. How many of you would say, well done, good and faithful servants, to those air conditioners for holding with us for 37 years. We have just this week ordered three brand new air conditioning systems we have some about to go out that control the sanctuary. And how many of you know that if the air conditioning ever went out in this sanctuary, I would have to move to North Dakota to pastor or something like that, and so would you. And so we have new air conditioning systems coming, and thank the Lord for His provision. Thank you, congregation, for your faithful tithing and giving here at First Assembly. We're going to be spending this next week $55,000 on air conditioners. And we thank the Lord for His provision that makes all of those things possible in the faithfulness of God's people. So thank you so very much. And rest assured, if it's a little warm up there this morning, that will be cooled down as soon as possible. And how many of you already know that air conditioning is a high priority with me? Yes, amen. Well, let's look to the Word of God together this morning. Matthew chapter 15, verse 21. And we're calling this message today, Get Her Done, Mom. Okay? Now, I have a comma. Do we have the title on the screen? Get Her Done, Mom. That is an exhortation to moms, I guess, in the title, because I put a comma after the Get Her Done. So we're saying through the sermon to all the moms out there, Get Her Done. But I also want to remove the comma for just a moment so that we can think about a mom in the pages of Scripture whom I would call a get-her-done mom, a mom who was determined to get the job before her finished. And she gave herself to that important cause. She was concerned about her little daughter that was suffering terribly, and she was determined to do something about it. And how many of you know that the best thing we can do for any family member or friend who is in trouble is to get them to Jesus? And the woman in the pages of Scripture today got the answer of Jesus for her daughter. This is a wonderful story. It's a strange story, I admit to you this morning, but we'll pick it apart together today for a little while. Matthew chapter 15, verse 21. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him, crying out, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession. Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us." Jesus answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." The woman came and knelt before him. "Lord, help me," she said. He replied, and the story's about to get even stranger here. He replied to the woman, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs." "Yes, Lord," she said, "but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Everybody say, "Huh." This is a strange story that we have before us in the scriptures today. But it's a great story to be told and to be examined on a Mother's Day Sunday morning. Let me pause today to say that my own dear mother, who went home to heaven about a year and a half ago, and by the way, I've pastored all of these years with a mom present with me in church for so many years. I pastored and said, "Mom, would you stand?" And I teased her about being so short, and I would say, "Please, Mom, would you stand?" while she was standing there. I pastored all of these years with my mom here in the sanctuary with us, sitting beside my dad, and was able to honor her until last year was the first Sunday when my mom had gone to heaven and I was no longer able to honor my mom in the church service. And I want you to know I have a brand new appreciation over these past couple of years of what it means to have sent a mom home to heaven. And I acknowledge that many of you like that are here like that in the house today. Many of you have a mom here and you're grateful to be with your mom today, or maybe she's somewhere else, but you're thankful for your mom. Others, your mom has gone home to be with the Lord. How many of you are grateful for the promise of heaven and the sure awareness that we're gonna see our Christian moms again someday? Say amen. We're so grateful for that this morning. My own dear mom was a wonderful mom whose first priority in life, and I say this without any hesitation, her first priority in life for her children and family was always, always, always spiritual. Mom's first heart's desire was that her children would serve the Lord Jesus fully, and ultimately that they would be in heaven with her someday. And now that mom has gone to heaven, you know, I've been determined to make it to heaven for a long time. But listen, we are even more determined to get to heaven when we realize there are people whom we love who've gone ahead of us to be with the Lord. Amen. And my mom was determined to keep her family close to the Lord as much as it was possible for her. She wanted to be sure we were together forever. This morning we read a story about a mom who was desperate to get her daughter freed from the power of a demon that was ruining that little girl's life. This is a story of the supernatural in the pages of scripture today. We acknowledge that, but how many of you know Jesus was and is a miracle worker? And this woman came to Jesus with a request for a supernatural intervention. And the intervention would be that Jesus hopefully would deliver her little daughter from the power of that demonic spirit. So this mom sprang into action. She made her way to Jesus and began a masterful negotiation. That's all I can say about it. It was a masterful negotiation with Jesus that concluded with her daughter's deliverance. So I'm calling this mom in our story today the get-her-done mom. I want us to examine her story together, and we begin by noting that she was a maneuvering mother. How many here today have ever had a mom, maybe don't lift your hand if your mom is sitting with you. How many of you have ever had a meddling mom? Some of us maybe know what it is for mom to meddle in our lives. Well, all I can say, and I've said this to many people, mom will always be mom. Isn't that right? And yes, you know, there are those principles about leaving, cleaving, and all of those things. But I just got to tell you, any spiritual mom is always going to be interested and passionate about their children's spiritual lives. And I say part of honoring our Christian parents is just to be, is being willing to listen. And if they're giving us biblical advice, to go with it. Yeah. So this mom in the scripture here today, we won't call her a Christian, but she became a Christian, I believe, in the midst of this story. She came to Jesus in faith. But she was a maneuvering mother. She had a daughter at home with a critical need, and she was determined to maneuver and manipulate and meddle and do whatever she needed to do to get a deliverance from the Lord for her daughter. Thank God for this mom. So let's think about this mom together today. First of all, let's consider this mom's ancestry. Verse 21 says, leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him. Mark's account of this story, chapter 7, verse 26 says, the woman was a Greek born in Syrian Phoenicia. Everybody say, a Canaanite woman. Okay, so the first thing we note in the scriptures about this woman is that she was not Jewish. She was not Jewish. She was a Canaanite woman. And this story is made possible when Jesus travels northwest from the Sea of Galilee and crosses over the Jordan and actually leaves the country of Israel. We know most of Jesus' ministry took place in the land of Israel. Again and again through those 3.5 years of his ministry, he traveled north and south, from Galilee to Judea and Jerusalem, back up to the Sea of Galilee, down to the south again, north, south, north, south, north, south. Jesus conducted his ministry. But on this particular occasion, Jesus actually traveled further north, crossed the border of the country, and moved up into the region of Tyre and Sidon, way up north in that territory. So we note from the beginning of this story that Jesus is headed into non-Jewish, non-religious, non-covenant territory. Okay? Jesus is the Jewish Messiah. In the pages of Scripture, we know that, but now he's moving into non-Jewish territory. It's understandable then that a non-Jewish woman would make the opportunity to come to her. This was her golden opportunity to get something from Jesus. But she was a Gentile. She was a woman with a heathen ancestry. And as she finds out, as she learns that Jesus is there in the area, it would be as if we're here in Jefferson City and some, you know, health expert came and was going to be, you know, down at the Capitol Plaza Hotel for 3 weeks to entertain medical questions that were specific to the situation that we were in. And we said, I've got to get down there to the hotel because I've got a critical issue and I need to talk to the expert about this. Because an expert is in the area. And there is Jesus up north in the area. And the woman hears and she makes her way boldly to Jesus. Now, remember this. She may not have been religiously qualified to get help from Jesus. She may not have been spiritually qualified or covenantally qualified because she was not a part of the covenant that Jesus came in the middle of. But that didn't stop this woman. How many of you understand that there are a lot of people out there who might not be religious, but they need the help of God? And when things get tough in life and they realize that nothing in this world can help them, they need something beyond natural remedies. They need the help of God. And though they may have never been religious one day in their lives, suddenly they recognize they need God. That's where this woman was. I don't know what her level of knowledge or faith in the past had been. We don't know that. But we do know that she was a Canaanite woman, and she determined that if Jesus was willing to come up to her territory, she was going to knock on the door at the house where he was staying and make an appointment with Jesus. And there she goes. Consider the mom's ancestry. Secondly, we consider the mom's anguish. What did she need? Matthew 15, 22 says, "My daughter," she said to Jesus, "is suffering terribly from demon possession." See that scripture? "My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession." In Mark's account of the story, we read that this was a woman whose little daughter, look at it there, Mark chapter 7, verse 25, a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an evil spirit. She had a young daughter at home who was being tormented by an evil spirit. Now, we know from many stories in the Gospels that demon possession was horrible, it was crippling, it was debilitating, it was often harassing and horrifying and abusing. We should not be surprised by that, because Jesus himself said in John chapter 10, verse 10, "The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy." And the devil at work in the world today and his demon hordes are working to kill and steal and destroy humanity. I want you to know we have a great God, but we also have a spiritual enemy. And the devil wreaks havoc in many people's lives. I believe, though, we don't talk about it as much in the world today, but the reality is Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever, and the spiritual world is still the same today as it was in Jesus' day. And many demonic powers are at work in the world around us today, and many of those demon powers afflict and inflict damage upon people today and bring great destruction into people's lives. That was the case of this little girl. She was suffering terribly from demon possession. And so the woman is desperate to get an answer. This woman, no doubt, had tried every other remedy for her daughter, but there was no other remedy. The only power that is greater than the power of Satan and demons is the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus, in his authority and power, has the privilege and prerogative of telling the devil to go, to let us go, to release us, and to send a demonic spirit running from the Jesus has that power. Jesus has given us as Christians that authority as well to do those things in his name. And so this mom cried out to Jesus about her little daughter. And as she did, thirdly, we consider the mom's affirmation of Jesus. Verse 22 says, "A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to Jesus crying out," and notice what she called Jesus, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me." Now, we already said this is a non-Jewish woman. And yet here she uses two terms that demonstrates that she's acknowledging who Jesus is. He is the Lord. Everybody say the Lord. How many of you know that if you are a high enough Lord, then you are the boss of everybody and everything? Okay. She says, "You are Lord." Secondly, she says, "You are the Son of David," which means that she acknowledged that Jesus here, she's acknowledging that Jesus ultimately is the Messiah promised by the Jewish prophets who would come into this world. This woman, though she had a heathen background as far as her genealogy goes, she had somehow come to a confidence in who Jesus is. He is the Lord. He is the Son of David. He is the Lord. He is a king with authority. He's God's Messiah. And so she expresses that affirmation in Jesus. And then fourthly, we consider the mom's appeal for assistance. She came to him, verse 22, crying out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession." She just lays it all out before Jesus. Now, did she bring the daughter with her? No. The daughter's back at home. Now, we don't know the full details of this story, but perhaps it was so difficult to get her daughter out into a public place because of what was going on that the woman didn't have any other choice. Maybe it was too hard to bring the daughter on. We don't know. But how many of you know there are many great difficulties in parenting? Yeah. I see it back there, Pastor Schutte. God bless you, my dear pastor friend. I see you're here. You guys are here for Mother's Day, I think. A longtime pastor friend. And brother and sister Schutte, I know that you would not acknowledge, now that you've come with your son for Mother's Day, that parenting has a lot of troubles. I know you don't want to acknowledge that. We love John and Melody dearly. Glad they're here. Glad you're here this morning. This woman is coming to Jesus, and she's left the daughter at home, and she says, Jesus, come and help me and bring deliverance to my daughter, a maneuvering mother. She's getting in the mix of things because she's concerned about a little girl. Now we come to the weird part of this story. How many of you know some parts of Scripture just seem very strange to us? Okay? And this is one of the strangest miracles in the New Testament to me, because it's a strange back and forth. We have to work at it a little bit to see what's going on here. But on the surface, we might wonder at Jesus' response, number two here. We might wonder, is this a cold, cruel, callous, compassionless Christ? Because we see his response and we think, well, what in the world, Jesus? How many of you would at least want Jesus to be courteous? But this is a strange response from Jesus. Here's the woman. She's called him Lord. She's called him Son of David. She's pleaded for mercy. She's been humble before him. And his response is just unthinkable. Notice here how Jesus responded to her. And we would just ask ourselves the question, is Jesus just being really cold to this woman? What's going on? We thought Jesus was full of compassion. Where is the compassion here? Was Jesus just being cold and callous? No. This was, note these facts about Jesus' response. This was delay, not denial. I want you to notice from in this story that Jesus never told her he wasn't going to answer her request. Are you here? How many of you have ever prayed for something, but you haven't received an answer immediately from the Lord? Lift your hand. Come on. Lift your hand. Don't you wish that every time you ask the Lord for anything, you could hear an audible voice saying, yes, I'm on it. Wouldn't that be awesome? I said, Lord, you know, I don't know what the example would be. Lord, I need such and such by tomorrow at 3:00. Wouldn't it be nice to have an audible answer from the Lord that said, you'll have it at 2:00 tomorrow? We would love that, but no, many times when we pray, there are delays in our hearing anything from the Lord and even in our receiving something from the Lord, but those delays are not always denials, all right? And in this story, this was delay, not denial. When the woman asked Jesus for the deliverance, the scripture says in verse 23, Jesus did not answer a word, okay? He just remained silent. This was delay, though, not denial. Secondly, we say when we ask, was this Jesus being cold and cruel? No. This was reception, not rejection. I want you to notice, though, there are some strange components of this. Notice what the disciples wanted to do. Verse 23. So his disciples came to him and urged him. Say this with me, disciples. Send her away. Say it out loud. Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us. What did the disciples want to do? They wanted Jesus to say to this woman, go away, woman. But Jesus did not do that. The disciples wanted to send her away, but Jesus did not send her away. Are you here? To the disciples, she was a bother, but she was not a bother to Jesus. Jesus was working on something here, even though he had not given her the answer yet. Everybody say, Jesus did not send her away. Okay, this was a strange reception, yes, but it was not a rejection. And thirdly, when we say, well, was this Jesus being cold? We say, no, this was process, not prejudice. Because we would think to ourselves, well, Jesus is just being, he's being prejudiced toward her. You know, he's Jewish. She is Canaanite, non-Jewish. So he's just being prejudiced toward her. In fact, the statements he continues to make could cause some people to say, well, Jesus was just being prejudiced toward her. Well, some of the Jews of Jesus' day were prejudiced toward other people. But I want you to know that the record of Jesus proves again and again in the pages of the New Testament that Jesus was not prejudiced toward non-Jewish people. Okay? But there's a process at work here. And notice what Jesus says. The disciples say, send her away. She keeps bothering us. And Jesus answered in verse 24, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. Well, if that's the answer to his question, are you listening this morning? He says, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. We say, well, if that was the answer to his question, why did he travel up north? Why did he leave the country? Why did he go camp out there? If that's true, why did he bother to stop at the well in the village of Sychar and minister to a Samaritan woman? Why would Jesus bother to place himself in the proximity and in the places of these people who were not Jewish if he was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel? Well, We've got to think about what's going on here. We've got to recognize that the gospel of Jesus and the grace of God was going to come through the Jewish people. God had chosen to use the Jewish. Look at me. God did not just choose the Jewish people to be his people. Are you here? But God chose long ago, centuries earlier, to choose the Jewish people as a vessel, as an instrument through whom he would work, through the covenant and through promises, ultimately to get the grace of God to the whole wide world. So the moving through the Jewish customs and covenants and promises and scriptures and prophets and all of those things was the plan of God to bring the good news and the grace of God to everybody in the world. How many of you in the house today, you would declare this morning that you are not Jewish? Yeah, me too, I'm not Jewish. But how many of you are children of God through Jesus Christ? Say a good amen. Yeah, so this was process. Jesus was working through this process. And he was going to prove a point here. So we say, was Jesus being cold and cruel? No. This was delay, not denial. This was reception, not rejection. This was process, not prejudice. And fourthly, get this. His interaction with the woman, this was a test. Not a trick or a trap. And it was the teaching of a transcendent truth, okay? As Jesus is talking back and forth with this woman, he's about to prove a point to us. We see in Matthew 15, 21, leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. He went north. Verse 7:25, then Jesus, Mark 7:25, then Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre and Sidon and went through Sidon down to the Sea of Galilee and into the region of the Decapolis. What's the point I want to make here? Here it is. We note in the accounts of both Matthew and Mark that this story before us today was the only recorded ministry that took place during this trip. Okay, here is Jesus moving up north, crossing the boundary, leaving the country, moving into foreign territory. And in both Matthew and Mark's account of this story, the only accounts we have of this story, this was the only recorded ministry activity of Jesus while he was out of the country. What must we assume from that? Well, I think we must assume that Jesus went all the way up into foreign territory, it seems obvious, for this one miracle, for this high priority encounter, this critical miracle for this woman had even more significance than just in her own life and in her daughter's life. This was significant for the message of Jesus that God so loved the world. Hear me now. Jesus is willing to cross out of familiar territory and move into a foreign country just to bring deliverance to a little girl who's suffering under the power of the devil. We ought not be surprised at that because Jesus had made a far greater journey a few years earlier when he, the Son of God, came from heaven, was born of the Virgin Mary, entered into human flesh, God in the flesh, come all the way from heaven to this world so that he might bring the gift of God's grace and salvation to a lost, hurting, broken world, people who were under the power of the devil and who were living under the sentence of death because of their sins. But God so loved the world that Jesus came all this way to reach to us. Isn't that good news? So this was an important miracle for Jesus because Jesus was teaching a point about getting the gospel beyond the Jewish people and all the way out to the peoples of this world. And so here we are in the story, and to this point Jesus has not supplied any answer. He said, I've only come to for the people of Israel, and you know, this back and forth. And the woman is still standing there. Now look at me. Many people, if they had received this kind of a test from Jesus, would have said, well, I'm out of here. Do you remember the story of Naaman the leper in the Old Testament? Do you remember that? Naaman was a foreigner as well, from up in Syria, and he had leprosy. It was a life debilitating disease. And he heard from a little servant girl that there was a prophet in Israel who could bring the power of God into his life and bring healing of his leprosy. And so he said, well, I'm going. He marched over into the country of Israel and found Elisha the prophet. And Elisha, when he got to Elisha's home, and this was a big man, this Naaman, he was an army commander. He was an important guy. But when he got to Elisha's house, the Bible says Elisha sent his servant out to tell him to go dip in the Jordan River. And Naaman was so offended that the prophet himself didn't come out. I mean, what kind of a deal is that? Elisha doesn't even come out. Sends his servant out. And the Naaman, this big important man who has leprosy, is so offended at the unusual response of the prophet that he gets mad and he says, well, I'm not putting up with this. He said, I thought at least the prophet would come out and wave his hand over me. Look, everybody look up at me. If it's really important to you, we'll wave our hand over you this morning. Naaman said, I thought he'd at least come over and wave his hand over me. Bring heal. Now he's not even coming out, and he's sending his servant to tell me to go dip in the river. And thank God that cooler heads prevailed. And Naaman's servant said, oh, please, please. You know, they'd probably dealt with this before. How many of you know your employees know all your weak spots? Yeah. And they said, please, Naaman, we've come all this way. Let's just go do what the prophet says. He says, okay, so he goes down to the river. He washes seven times in the Jordan River. He comes up miraculously healed. I preached a sermon years ago about that story entitled, Almost Missed a Miracle. Because Naaman got mad at the response and the methodology. But in the end of the story, because he didn't let his anger prevail, he went God's way. How many of you know God's way is always better than our way, even if we don't understand it? Say amen. Okay, so he got his miracle. Well, here's this woman standing before Jesus. He's given all these strange answers. You know, she'd heard that he was a compassionate Messiah. Here she gets to him and it's like, well, this isn't what I thought this would be. She stands there waiting on Jesus. And he is, you know, saying all these strange things. But the woman persisted. Everybody say, she persisted. And she exhibited, number three, I'll hurry here. She exhibited what I called a feisty, family-focused faith. Okay? What did the woman want from Jesus? Healing for her daughter. How many of you know that was first priority for her that day? She was desperate. She didn't want to go home and find her little girl still suffering under the power of the devil. She wanted an answer, and she persisted. She didn't get offended. She didn't get her feelings hurt at Jesus. She just persisted. She was going to get that miracle if it was up to her. So she bowed and she begged. Look at verse 25. The woman came and knelt before him. Lord, help me, she said. Mark 7:26 says she begged Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. And Jesus just keeps on going with this scheme that he's working. Notice Jesus bantered with her about bread. She's pleading with Jesus. And notice what he said. If she hasn't been insulted already, wait till the next thing. And he says to her, it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs. Now, how many of you would say, all right, that's it, I'm out of here? This might seem like an insult, and it might be even hard to hear, even for us today. But listen to me. Jesus was pressing this woman. He was pressing her for faith. And listen to me. Ultimately, Jesus was pressing her to join the family of God by faith. Are you here? How many of you know today that though you are not Jewish by ethnicity, you are a child of God? Lift your hand and say amen if that's you. And how are you a child of God? Through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus is pressing this woman. She's not an Israelite. She's a Canaanite. She comes from a heathen background. But listen, Jesus is not closing the door to the family for her. He is pressing her for faith that will give her entrance into the family of God. You say, well, boy, this story is, this is a convoluted, there's a lot to this. But the close of the story demonstrates all that all I'm telling you about this is true. And he says, well, it's not right to give the children's bread, toss it to their dogs. But Jesus was pressing her. And I love these words that a biblical commentator named Richard France wrote years ago. He wrote these words. Think about this. We hear Jesus say, it's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs. Richard France wrote these words. Written words cannot convey a twinkle in the eye, nor do we hear the tone in Jesus' voice. One thing I can assure you of this morning, Jesus did not hate this woman. Are you here? Jesus was not turned off by this woman. No. In fact, I believe Jesus knew the hearts of people as he was ministering to them. I believe that. We see that throughout the Gospels. I believe Jesus knew the hearts of people as he was ministering to them. He already knew the heart of this woman. And here he is bantering back and forth. Well, it's not right to give the children's bread to their dogs. But we can't hear the tone in Jesus. We can't tell whether Jesus is grinning as he says that, because, you know, that would have been, for many of the religious, the super religious hypocritical Jews, that would have been their genuine opinion about Gentile people, that, well, they're the dogs. Jesus didn't consider this woman a dog. Are you hearing me? But he was conveying what the world around him was saying about her. And so Jesus is pressing the woman. One thing we can be absolute, are you listening this morning? One thing we can be absolutely sure about in this story. Jesus did not come to die for dogs. Are you here? Now you may love your pet, but I want you to know this morning. When Jesus came to shed his blood and die on an old rugged cross, he came for people. And he was about to die on the cross for this woman, huh? Right? So even as he's bantering back and forth with her, Jesus already knows what he's doing here. And as he said that, as he bantered about bread, it's not right to take the children's bread and get tossed to their dogs, she bantered back. This is, I give this woman an A+ for determination. And she says in verse 27, get this, yes, Lord, she said, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's tables. That's pretty bold, isn't it? I can tell you that so far in this story, I'll just be determined that if Jesus were still going back and forth with this woman 2,000 years later, she would still be there. Going back. How many of you know she believed in Jesus and she was going to get her miracle that day for her daughter? So she said, well, even the children eat the bread that falls from the master's table. This woman's faith and determination were bold and creative. Her little daughter needed a miracle, and Jesus was the only option, so she just kept on going. As a result, number four, the last point of this story is a dismissed demon and a delivered daughter. When this woman said, well, yeah, but even the dogs eat the crumbs from the table, Jesus was delighted with that answer, and he was delighted with this mom's determination and faith. And verse 28, Jesus answered, woman, you have great faith. Your request is what? Everybody say, yes. Okay? She's gone through a lot to get this. She had to press in with faith to Jesus. She wasn't turned off by all of these tests. She persevered, and she got what she wanted. And the scripture said, Jesus says, your request is granted. Jesus was delighted with her faith, and Jesus delivered the mom's daughter from demonic darkness into freedom. Verse 28 says, and her daughter was healed when? From that very hour. And Mark chapter 7, Mark adds to the story these words, she went home and found her child lying on the bed, and the demon gone. And Jesus brought the miracle that her little daughter needed. This was a long distance miracle. Jesus wasn't at the house of the daughter, but Jesus spoke wherever he was, and across town somewhere, the demon had to go. How many of you know that our Lord Jesus is absolutely and unequivocally more powerful than any power the devil could ever throw at us? Say a good amen. That's good. That's good news. And Jesus can speak. You might say, well, I wish I could see Jesus today. I want to say to you this morning, Jesus is in heaven, but his presence is here through the Holy Spirit today. Jesus said, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. He said, I'll be with you to the very end of the age. Jesus assured us that his presence would be here when we gather together in his name. And I want you to understand this morning that the Lord Jesus Christ, through the presence of the Holy Spirit, is here today. And Jesus could speak from heaven today, or the Holy Spirit could work in our midst right now and break every bondage the devil would try to throw against us. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And this daughter was delivered. And the mom and the daughter, they listen to me, they got more than crumbs that day. Huh? They got the children's bread on a golden platter. And their request was granted. What a strange story, but what a beautiful story. Now I close this morning with three words to summarize the principles from this miracle. Number one, Jesus is the answer for broken families today. He can break the bondages of the devil and demons and bring us into the fullness of God's family. Huh? Are you here? Two. Thank God for moms who prioritize their children's spiritual welfare and are willing to fight for their freedom. God honors the prayers of mothers. You know, my sweet mom prayed for me every day. All through the years of my ministry, my mom prayed for me. My mom would call me every day, at least once a day. Many times my mom would call me like 7 or 8 times a day, you know. In her later years, my mom always dealt with a little bit of obsessive compulsive nature. How many of you know the apple doesn't fall too far from the tree? She always dealt with a little bit of obsessive compulsive nature. And so if my mom tried to call me and she didn't get me on the phone, she'd call a minute later. And then if she didn't get me, she'd call a minute later. And she'd call a minute later. And I might be in a meeting, come out of a meeting and look on my phone, and my mom had tried to call me 8 times in a row. She was determined to get a hold of me. And after all, she is mom, and how many of you know that carries a lot of weight? And ultimately, when I talked to her, she said, "Well, I've been trying to call you. I'm wanting to know, is there anything I need to pray about?" That was most phone calls in the last few years. That was the subject of the phone call. Imagine trying to call me 8 times in a row. And when I get her, she says, "I'm just calling to see, is there anything I need to pray about?" That's a good mom, isn't it? Yeah. And God honors the prayers of mothers. I encourage all of the moms in the house, all the families in the house, if you have brokenness in your family, listen, join the club. Many, many families deal with brokenness in this troubled world. But I want you to know, Jesus has the power to bring healing even to the most broken of families. And I'd say, don't give up. Are you here? Don't give up. You say, "Well, our family's been so broken for a while, I don't know if there's any healing for our family." No, don't give up. If you don't get an answer immediately, do like this woman in the pages of Scripture. Just persevere and persist in faith and declare, "I'm determined. If it's up to me, I'm going to get the miracle my family needs." Yes. So I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to keep pursuing the Lord. I'm going to keep asking the Lord to give me, listen, I'm going to keep asking the Lord to give me wisdom to know what to say and what not to say. How many of you know sometimes if you say the wrong thing, it makes it worse than if you've not said anything? We need to know when to speak and when to shut up. Could I have an amen? Some of you are saying right now, "Pastor Noel, it's time for you to shut up. The sermon time is finished." No, listen, I'm trying to give you principles here this morning. Thank God. Moms, keep on praying, yes? Now that my mom, I gotta move. Number 3, we are God's children through our relationship with Jesus. And the bread on God's table now belongs to us. Let's feast in faith on God's abundance. The truth is, those who will come to Jesus in faith are going to grab the attention of Jesus. There may be delays in the process. There may even be testing in the process. Sometimes I believe the Lord does allow us to be tested to determine the sincerity of our faith in Him and our determination to depend upon Him. Well, let's just keep trusting. And let's just keep pursuing Jesus. Could I have an amen? And let's just keep believing that Jesus has the provision that we need. He has for us from His Heavenly Father our daily bread. It's the children's bread. Everybody say, "It's the children's bread." And as children of God, we are covered and provided for at His table. So I thank God for a lot of get-her-done moms in the house today. Amen? Yeah. Moms, keep it up. Keep up the good work, Mom. Keep on praying. Keep on believing for your family. If you've got sore spots in the family, just keep on praying, trusting the Lord that God's going to bring healing and wisdom and help in the midst of all that. Keep pressing into Jesus. Listen, in this difficult world, there is no better answer than Jesus. The truth is, many times there's no other answer but Jesus. And we need the Lord with all of our might today.